Well, in the Story Break, the Red Zoom podcast with three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for an awesome idea or a movie.
What are you having a stroke? Just to jump in, everyone, this is the third time Freddie has tried to get the name and catchphrase of our podcast right. Freddie, do you want to give it one more try and then you can tap me in if you can't?
No,
get it.
Someone else do it. You do it then.
Go,
Jesus,
Will.
I've been editing all day. My brain's mush.
Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an epic
pitch for an
awesome movie. I'm Freddie Wong, your host.
No, you're Will Campos, and I'm Matt Arnold, and I want to call in a quick meeting here. Quick emergency
meeting. Emergency meeting, guys. Emergency meeting.
I think Freddie's an imposter because Freddie usually nails the intro. Hey, Freddie. Freddie, where were you when Will was doing the intro? What room were you in?
Where was I, Freddie, when Will was doing the intro? Well, it was me, Freddie. I was doing the intro.
Oh, no.
This is too confusing. Oh, this is a much better idea for the opening.
What are we doing?
We're doing the hit video game sensation. I'm Freddie Wong, and we're doing the hit video game sensation Among Us, a video game that looks like it was made in Flash back in 2008 and has inexplicably become one of the most popular video games in the world.
Hey guys, I'm Freddie Wong, and I just want to say I haven't played this game yet, and I'm looking forward to it, but I'm kind of coming in neutral. I'm coming in like eyes open, me, Freddie Wong.
You know it just from being on the internet and being a 34-year-old male, so you just kind of...
Yeah, you know, from being a smash hit YouTube sensation, Freddie Wong, me, the guy who everyone loves from the internet. You know, I was in video game high school. I played Glenn Close on the hit podcast Dungeons and Daddies. I edit this podcast sometimes. Chad Ellis edits it now. You know, I was just minding my own business being Freddie Wong, and then I didn't know what this game was about. So why don't someone explain
it? All right. So Among Us, Matt and I will sort of tag team this.
Oh, all right. All right. Go, Freddie. I'm slapping you in.
Well, no, Will. We can't
all right,
stop.
We're stopping.
Emergency meeting.
We're done. Okay. Okay. Will, go ahead. I'm just kidding. I'm Will Campos. We're doing a goof. The game Among Us. It's you. There's one person who's an imposter. That was the joke.
All right. I'll explain. Okay. Among Us is an online multiplayer game. If you haven't played it, think of it as like Alien or The Thing. There's different levels, but for the sake of this podcast, we're just going to say we're going to do the spaceship one, I think. Well, maybe we'll change that mind. But everybody plays a little spaceman, and you're all trying to stop a ship or an ice HQ, a Arctic base from malfunctioning. So you're all going around doing little bullshit jobs. You're like crossing wires, you're like plugging in stuff, and you got to do that to keep the thing running. However, the twist of it is that some number of you are imposters, and their job is to kill everybody. So when you're playing the game, essentially, whenever, if you've played Assassin or any
mafia,
sort of murder mystery, like
werewolf,
dinner party, mafia, it's all the same. Like, you'll be playing, if you're not an imposter, you're going to be running around and doing little chores and stuff, and then all of a sudden you'll see a body on the floor, or you'll get killed, and you call a meeting, and then everybody screams and accuses each other, you know, asking, where were you? Where was the body? Don't worry, I saw Freddy the whole time I was with him. It's like, well, maybe you two are the imposters. You all argue, and then you can vote to kick somebody out the airlock or toss them into lava or whatever it is. And if the imposters ever outnumber, you know, the actual spacemen, the imposters win. So, yeah, it's one of those. If you've played Resistance or Mafia or any of those.
It's a little deduction game.
And the characters are a very distinctive looking and, weirdly enough, very familiar looking set of characters. They look like the bean people from Fall Guys.
Mixed with minions.
If they were in spacesuits. It's basically like the Fall Guys got into adorable spacesuits. I'm sure an Among Us skin is probably coming to fucking Fall Guys at some point, or they're gonna do a fucking Fall Guys level of Among Us. That's probably in your future. You know, that's something we're all gonna have to deal with, so just get ready for it. Just brace yourself now.
Though they have shown, so both Among Us and Fall Guys have presented canonical skeletal structures of their characters. Fall Guys is very complicated. It essentially looks like a grotesque ape type person that's like 6 foot tall and eye stalks, you know,
an
literally drop
type
2 feet down from the forehead down to their eyes. Among Us is a single bone.
I saw that. It's just very funny. They have like a cartoon Fred Flintstone bone.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes when you kill somebody in Among Us, you can chop them in half and it's just a single bone. Like, yes, like a cartoon, like a piece of ham is sticking out. So they're definitely different creatures, but it's okay. We're not doing a crossover, so we don't have to worry about that.
Okay. So we have essentially a social deduction game. We have intrigue. We have people you can't trust. It's taking place in a sci-fi setting. Let's go for it. What's the movie of this hit game?
Here's the first thing I want to bring up in terms of tone and kind of what we're doing with it. I feel like there's two very different worlds in Among Us. Outside of playing a game and in the meme world, and when you're talking about it, it is very goofy, right? It's like this very goofy, you're making meme jokes and it's like, haha, the imposter. And it's all silly and the look of the game is silly. When you're playing it, it's very similar to something like Resistance. It's not goofy when you're playing it.
It's deadly
like the graphics
serious.
Are goofy, but like relationships are stretched thin. People are screaming and people take it very seriously. And it's a very nerve-wracking game if you get into it. It is like a horror game. To me, it's like this sort of game is like the best sort of horror game, because rather than an AI or some sort of, you know, programmer like, you know, programming lights going out, it's like actually somebody that you know who's intelligent, you know, unless you're playing with Freddy, is like tracking you down and gonna kill you.
I saw a very good tweet. This woman tweeting that she was playing Among Us with her boyfriend for the first time and he was the imposter and immediately murdered her, and then had the fucking audacity to get in and report her body, go into the chat and be like, all right, who killed my girlfriend, guys?
That's a 4D chess play, though.
It's a real relationship ruiner.
Great plays. Good moves.
I mean, it reminds me of one of the only times I ever played the game Resistance with my wife, Ashley, when it was done. She was like, I can't play this game with you anymore, because she just watched me lie mercilessly to people and her. But I will say that's fascinating, because I've always found those board games like pretty 50-50 whether or not the group will enjoy it. Yeah. It really depends. Among Us is pretty universal. I do think the fact that you're not at the same table and like literally looking in somebody's face and lying to them.
The big one is that as the game is played in the vanilla sense, it is done through text chat, through typing stuff out. And there's something different about, because I would say, you know, to speak to my own play tactics in these games, I definitely, and Matt, I think, is probably cut from the same cloth, like, I like to provoke people. Like, I'll come at people hard because I think that when people are stressed out, they're more likely to slip up and reveal their true natures because it's outside their comfort zone. Not everyone's okay with that. Like, we played with some of our friends on the Discord server and a guy was like, literally like, yo, no, why are you guys coming so hard? And I had to quickly backtrack. Like, I'm sorry, this is just the way I play these games. And it was a little bit awkward.
Quick tangent. We had a friend who, like, there's eight people playing. I'm like, oh, hey, you got two spots open. How about me and Freddy play? We're like, cool. Like, I know a few of them because I've played board games, but I don't really know. It's like they're our friends' friends. They're not our friends.
Yeah. Not anymore, Freddy
comes
anyway.
In, like the first thing that happens, he's like, what the fuck, motherfucker? Bullshit, bullshit. And he's like screaming at the server. And you can just tell everybody was like, Who did our friend invite in to play this game with us? This guy's intense.
I am very bad at these types of games. I'm terrible at Resistance. Whenever I play with my wife, she immediately knows I'm the spy. I remember the first time I played Resistance was at the Rocket Jump compound back in the day. And I, shit you not, I drew spy like 8 times in a row. Like, it was hell. And I remember I finally did, because it was just, everyone was just immediately excusing me of being the spy. And I'm a terrible liar. But I was finally, I remember, I literally, because it was just, it was the most aggro group that has ever played that game. I was the spy, and I remember someone was like, "Will you the spy?" And I screamed at the top. I was like, it was like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Departed. It was like an Oscar, like grab the gun, shove it into your head, and say, "If you think I'm the spy, kill me right now," kind of stuff. Yep. And I finally, like, I went hard enough. They were like, "Okay, I'm pretty sure you're not the spy."
And you probably felt amazing,
so satisfying. Not having played Among Us, I think something that's very appealing about it. Beyond, so yes, like, I find Resistance to be exhausting, and the idea of doing Resistance, but it's in chat with cuddly little characters, is like way more appealing to me.
Yeah,
but it's also like, in Resistance, it's just the voting, right? It's just, you're getting into an argument. It's just one giant argument. Whereas, like, Among Us also has the, like, I'm being sneaky and running around and trying to murder someone without getting caught.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a game element to it. And then if you're an innocent space person, you also have little fun mini games that you have to complete. There's a little completionist thing. You're trying to fill up your tasks and your bars. So it's still fun for you. It's not just about yelling at people.
Yes, I think the difference between that and, like, Resistance, you can be smart in Among Us. Like, on either side, if you're not an imposter, like, keeping track of your friends and, like, trying to memorize who you saw where and all that stuff, like, you're playing Clue, essentially.
Yes.
And really quick, I just want to say, Freddy.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure so that this doesn't go unsaid. When you were yelling at that guy with a group of people that you've never met before, I was in the background applauding you. Don't worry, I was not judging you. I was like, Freddie knows how to play this game. Good job, Freddie. I just want to make sure you don't think I was judging you. I was absolutely 100% for it.
And here's the difference, Matt. I knew you weren't judging me because this is how you play these fucking games. And if I'm here to play, I'm here to play to fucking win. I'm not here to fucking have a good time. I'm here to win.
Okay.
Anyway, so, thanks everyone. If you guys want me to join up on your things, hit me up on Twitter. Love playing this game. Love yelling at people.
So, Freddie and I are playing two-player games all the time. So I guess my question was, I think you said one time that Story Break is sometimes really fun when we do horror because it's so outside of our wheelhouse. I just think like the feel of this game when you're playing is definitely like stressful and intense, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I want us to go down the rabbit hole of like a cutesy game. Because one, also people get murdered. Like if you can do anything with this, it's going to be like, and then there was none. It's going to be, you know, there's 10 space people, and at the end there's like two people left.
But what about Clue, though? But what about Clue?
I mean, you could do it like Clue, the movie. One, that'd be the hardest thing to break because Clue as a movie is just, right, it's just pure nonsense.
And also name one other movie that's like Clue that's ever come out, right? Like it's such a weirdly unique.
But I would say the game doesn't feel like Clue. Like again, it doesn't feel like a bunch of goofy shit going on. Like it is like you're playing really intensely when you're playing Among Us. Like that's what's fun about it. And I think a lot of times, like, you know, a lot of games that have a cartoony exterior can end up being super intense. Like you play people that are serious about Mario Kart or Smash Brothers, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, I guess in terms of like comps, like, and then there was none and like The Thing are like the first two that come to
the
my
thing.
Mind that are like similar to what happens in the game.
Yeah. Yes. And like, I'm trying to think of other things in this vein. Again, like it's a kind of slasher movie kind of premise, I suppose one might say.
Yeah, because unlike The Thing, there's not like a test. Like you can't test like anybody and know for certain, you know, if they are. You just shoot somebody out the airlock and pray that that was the imposter and go about your business. And then if people keep dying, you're like, well, we didn't get them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, should we start with a character maybe?
This is going to be tough. I can already feel it. This is a tough one. Oh, man.
They're tough.
Like, what do you do? It's just a fucking game. Like, all
just think, what's the difference between The Thing and then there was none, right?
You have to dig into, like, there's a why and a wherefore for it. But, like, structurally, it does feel like, just to throw something out there, it does feel like the way that you want to see it is you want to see a group of people, everyone's trusting, there's a kill, oh, no, who is it? Increasing amounts of intrigue, betrayal, big twist. And then this like it gets down to the last vote between the last three people, and there's one imposter among them, you know, or you do the ending where it's like, oh, they didn't get it or they lost or whatever. But like that just feels like it feels like at the very least you're going through essentially a retelling of a game that goes out and goes to the very last vote, like a three person, you know.
Yeah. Just to jump in for a second. So here's the riddle to me. So how long does it take to play a round of Among Us?
15 to 20 minutes.
A little longer too.
You don't want to just do a 2-hour version of a story that is more fun in 15 minutes, right?
Yes,
so like that's the trick. But you still want to be truthful to the like quirky aesthetic and like these goofy spacemen with their little silly helmets and stuff like that.
But I don't think that's just because it's an accelerated game, but the idea of like in a spaceship that needs to be fixed, or again, The Thing is Among Us. There's like literally no difference in terms of the structure of The Thing. Like you could do The Thing as a board game in 20 minutes. Like, but The Thing is essentially people slowly getting killed by The Thing. That is the entire movie. And yes, there's a first act where The Thing appears, but same thing with Alien. Like it's Alien, it's The Thing. There's a good Doctor Who episode, Midnight, when they're all like trapped on like a tourist attraction like vehicle, and there's like a invisible creature that's taking people out, and everybody starts getting paranoid and accusing everybody. Like, or this is even like, I mean, this is, yeah, I mean, I'm not concerned about stretching out. It's more about what is the angle, like The Mist, right? The Mist is essentially this. Everybody's inside the supermarket, you know, and obviously mm-hmm. there's like something on the outside, but nobody knows exactly what it is. So people start accusing each other and stuff like that.
And does it turn out at the end that the monster is us all along?
Some of those movies are that. Some of them, there is just a straight up monster.
There must be a third option.
Here's the question. What are they doing? What are they doing in space?
Well, it feels like they're in a space mission. It feels like they're on like a, because the nature, okay, so just to fill in Will a little bit because, or Freddie a little bit in terms of the stuff that's going on that you do. It definitely is that the space station you're on is like it's falling apart. The nature of all the things you're doing are like running diagnostic tests, rewiring panels. Like it is in a state of disarray. It kind of reminds me a little bit of some of the stories of like the Mir space station mm-hmm. from back in the 90s. Only 90 kids will remember this one, the Mir space station. Am I right? So a team of astronauts come to like repair this thing, you know, to get it back going. Feels like a good, like, I get it. It's a group of people, you know, international coalition of folks. That's why they're all wearing different spacesuits of different colors. They're all showing up there to repair this International Space Station, which is about to fall out of the sky and burn up in the atmosphere and cause all sorts of chaos on Earth. But there's a traitor among them. Maybe it's political intrigue. Maybe one's trying to bring it down over a country or to cause, you know, some sort of political thing to happen. And it becomes like about the different countries. So you get like a real, like, you know, sort of different groups of people sort of thing, you know, and the prejudices show up and, oh yeah, you know,
the core thing to figure out is what is the crew doing and what does that represent? Like an alien, you know, right? They are essentially just blue collar workers. And there's a whole element of late stage capitalism and, you know, using, you know, abusing nature and just taking what's yours. And the creature essentially represents this unknown force that, like, people can't, you know, we can't comprehend. And yet we're just like treating it like it's nothing. And we're punished for kind of like human arrogance. Like, mm-hmm. So it's like, what are they doing? What's the crew doing? And what is like, what is that kind of play in terms of like the theme that we're playing with? And then why are the imposters doing what they're doing? And is it just like a madness thing, or is it like something, you know?
So, and then they were none. They all get called to that house because, is it like greed? Is it like, right? Oh, no, it's because it's
don't spoil. Okay. All right. I will stop. Again, I know we have played loosey-goosey with spoilers on this show many a time, but I refuse to allow Agatha Christie's masterwork and then there went on to be spoiled on this show. Just putting that out there right now. We got to pump the brakes real quick. This is not spoiling anything to say that all of the people in And Then There Were None are invited to this island by a mysterious host who, you know, like, and then they all have a dark secret from their past.
Yes, that's literally the concept. That's not a spoiler.
But it's different for every person, right?
Yes, it's very different.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So okay. The first thing that leaps out to me, as an outsider, I love these little characters that are so cute. That inherently plays the idea that one of them is a sinister murderer is very fun, right? Like, there's a tension, mm-hmm. but in that contrast, I really do not think Among Us would be as compelling if, like, the people, the spacesuits and, like, the people were realistic and you saw their faces and stuff like that. I don't think that would be nearly as interesting.
Yeah, it makes it approachable.
It's not just that it makes it approachable, it's also that contrast between the fact that they look like Teletubbies and the really dark shit that's going on is part of the fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I had to sort of broach a theme for the story, because again, this is a story as old as time, kind of, as you guys have pointed out. It's the level to which, like, you know, because I always think of like horror themes as like the kind of negation of like the kind of fun, happy themes that I normally like to write with. Like, you know, like the, like, what's the inversion of Love Conquers All, right? Like that love is, you know, a brain, it's just a chemical reaction in your brain that makes you do stupid shit, right? Like that's the horror movie version of what love is. What if this is about the fact that other people are fundamentally unknowable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That at a certain level, like, again, I think about, there's that quote at the beginning of Life of Pi, that man and animal regard each other across a sea of incomprehension, right?
Right, right.
But the idea that, like, as much as you know someone else, they are fundamentally unknowable in a certain way that can be kind of terrifying.
Yes.
Because, again, like, you have, like, these imposters, and, like, when you were like, oh, what do they want? Like, I don't know that we should ever know what the imposters want. Right? Like, I think it's scarier if you're only kind of hinting at it, but you don't really know. Because in the game, you don't know. You don't know why they're murdering people. And that's kind of the scariest. That's scarier than knowing the imposters. If they were like, the imposters are, again, it's like in Resistance, it's more boring. But it's like, if they're like, the imposters are spies who want to take over the spaceship for their galactic rebellion or whatever, I'd be like, I don't fucking care about any of that. So, like, the question of, like, how much you can trust someone, how knowable they are, I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I like that as the core theme. I'm not quite ready to throw out the idea that you don't need to know. I think there's a reason why serial killers are scary and people are obsessed with understanding them. Like, everybody wants to understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't think you can just throw out, like, again, like, yes, I know you're making fun of Resistance, but, like, if you knew in Among Us, if they gave a reason why the imposters are killing them, I don't think it would make it any less engaging.
Yes.
Like, you're doing it because you want to kill your friends. That's the fun of it.
Exactly, right? Again, that's the other fun of the game is, like, you know, like, these games reveal sides of ourselves that would not normally come out in polite society. Our ability to deceive each other is, like, this part of the, it does make you, like you were saying, like, with Ashley, you're like, you know, it's like, you're like, I can't play this game anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that's all really intriguing. I like playing around with that, and I think the story should kind of reflect that. I just want to touch on a couple of things that maybe will knock something loose. So the crewmates win by completing all tasks before being killed or finding and eliminating the imposters. The imposters win by, there's more imposters or equal to the number of crewmates.
Yeah.
So the imposters are also sabotaging stuff on the ship, correct? So it's like you can sabotage something.
Yes, you can, to essentially slow down.
And then, like, there's like a countdown. So is the idea there that you're kind of luring people into a trap? Like, you sabotage something and then they have to go.
Yes, the reason you do that, the reason they have the sabotage thing is because gameplay wise, we figured out pretty quickly, like, you can break the game if everybody essentially just paired up per se. But, like, sabotage is a way to allow the imposter to separate people. Because it's important that you can't talk Actually, that's something maybe to do in, it feels like a very like Moffat thing in a Doctor Who episode to have this very distinct like gimmick. But the game wouldn't work if you could talk while playing. You can only talk while you call a meeting. So even if you're standing next to somebody, you can't talk, which is important because that's the only way. It'd be one thing if everybody's like, stay with me, everybody stay together, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But the moment you do like a sabotage and there's like two places to go, people will just split up because they don't know. You have to kind of communicate like by like bouncing around and stuff, which doesn't really quite work. So the idea that like these spacesuits have malfunctioned or like anytime like the room with the airlock that everybody can call a meeting, you can talk. But the moment you're stepping out of the ship, like into the, yeah, you just do that. Like there's no air in the freaking spaceship except for the.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is that you do, if the first thing is that the radios get sabotaged or there's some jamming signal, you know, like that, so that they can't communicate. And then literally, there's no air and you can't communicate because there's no vacuum in space.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, the moment you put on the suit, you can do a cool sound. Yeah, somebody puts on the suit and all the sound, everybody's just standing next to each other and they can't say anything to each other.
It's a cool high concept thing because like your main central cafeteria might still have air, right? Everywhere else doesn't have air. So then from that point on, it almost becomes like a quiet place, right? Where it's like there's no words in these sections of the movie and it's just looks and people are trying to like figure right? Like that's kind of a cool, just a high concept conceit.
Yeah, because you'd have like a thing where like somebody pulls an alarm and everybody comes back in and there's like nine. They're like, where's Jeff? Sorry, brother Jeff. It's like, where's Jeff? He's like, he's dead. It's like, wait, he's dead? Who saw him? It's like, I saw him. It's like, why didn't you drag him in here? It's like, he's heavy. It's like, okay, well, bring him in. It's like, no, nobody's going anywhere. Like, and then he's just suddenly get that first thing where it's like, which three people are going to walk out and bring the body back and like who trusts who. And like, they're like, you know, maybe he tripped or whatever it is. But yes, you start getting that paranoia. Somebody's like, is somebody here killing us? And maybe the ship was sabotaged by this person from the beginning. You know, why did the ship break apart? You know, why are they in trouble in the first place even? So that's all fun. And yes, I like the no talking just like in the game when they put on their spacesuits. So
yes.
And then so another thing is that there's also a way for the crew members to kind of hunt the imposters, right? With like cameras and stuff like that. Like there's security cameras.
There's no way to hunt. There's just ways to, there's cameras and things that you can do to try to look at places where you are not. But that's just like, again, that's essentially the only tool that the normal people have. The non-imposters is just their sight.
Okay, like, so this is, but so again, so it's like looking, it's like there's a security camera system on the space station. There's a door log in the headquarters that lets you know who went into each room and a vitals.
Yeah, there's like a vital sign sensor.
A vitals indicator. So like, that's all really cool. Again, I'm just turning into textural stuff. To
Yeah.
All right.
And the final gameplay thing, which I don't know if there's a thematic way to play this. It makes sense gameplay-wise. Unless you make them like an alien. But the imposters, the one thing they have that make it so that they actually have a chance is that there are vents in the game that let you jump, essentially like the clue vents. Like there's vents that let you jump from one room to the other, but only the imposter can use that.
Oh, interesting.
So,
because I've seen that online where someone's like, I saw so-and-so vent. Like, and that means like I saw them go into the vent.
Yeah, I caught somebody by that when I went into a room that had a vent and I did my job and I walked out and then I saw somebody else walk out. I was like, wait, the only way they could have been in that room is if they vented there. So they must be the imposter.
Oh.
But it's a way for the imposter to kill somebody, then, you know, appear on the other side of the map so that they're not where the body was.
Interesting. One other meme to touch on, which is that when you're suspicious of someone in the game, you say they're sus, which I think is very funny. It's like so-and-so's sus. And then like the kind of meme that's been going around is essentially like inevitably it's the person who accuses the imposter that winds up looking suspicious because then the imposter is just like, he's sus, guys. I don't know. And then
delicate dance.
That's something I definitely want to pay tribute to because there's nothing more infuriating than like, you know who the bad guy is and you're screaming at the top of your head to try to convince everyone that he's the bad guy. And then everyone thinks you look paranoid and crazy. So they shoot you out of the airlock is like very funny to me.
That might be a fun main character. Eventually when we have to like come up with who the main character is, that'd be a good low point moment for them to be suspected.
Mm-hmm.
And probably even like shot out of the airlock or they're going to kill them and they find a way to either like barely survive or they're like outside the ship, you know, some, you know, miraculous,
or they have
like
a ploy or something. Yeah.
But they're essentially now floating in space and they're going to die, but they know it's not them and they, you know, have to come back to like solve this or whatever. But I definitely think a good low point would be being suspect because that is the worst part in the game is when you are innocent and they're accusing you. I mean, it's even worse if you absolutely know who the person is, who the imposter is.
Okay, hear me out. Total zag. It's 12 angry men, with the little guys. And it's the structure of the movie is it starts in the voting room and they're going to vote the guy out into the airlock. And then it's like your Henry Fonda character's got to convince everybody that he's not really the imposter.
I love the idea of 12 angry men, we'll do 12 angry people, but you do, it needs to be 12 angry people that turns into 8 angry to 2 angry. Like I think you still want them to be
holy
dying
shit.
During it.
12 angry men meets and then there were none is like such an insane concept that like it's
holy
as they're,
shit.
As they're trying to figure it out, they keep getting bumped off.
Cause that's the structure of the game is that you're constantly doing meetings and the necessity why they have to separate is because there is a necessity of like, okay, health supports are down. We need to continue this conversation, but we have to repair the ship. Otherwise we're going to die. So everybody back here in 20 minutes, you know, and then everybody comes back and there are 6 of them. They're like, what the hell? Like, somebody's killing us. And then, okay, back to accusations and back to discussing this or whatever is kind of fun.
Let's talk about the characters. And like, so how many different little spacesuits are there?
I think 10.
So there's 10.
Up to 10, yeah.
10's the max you could play. So I think 10's a good number.
And so then this is like, they're basically like red, green, blue, pink, orange, yellow. Like it's the color wheel.
Okay, to give this like a thing, could you do that? It's like a science expedition, kind of like Sunshine. And they all met up. You might even do it's like, whatever, it's in the future. There's the idea that there's a bunch of people that don't know each other that have all come to this like international space station or intergalactic because we're in the future and there's more planets and shit or whatever, and they get like the call from NASA saying like, hey, like there's only supposed to be 9 of you, and also there's like a prison break like a reason, like is there a way that they can
know
that
right
they
away.
Think somebody like they know somebody's killing, like they know somebody's like not supposed to be here.
Oh, so you just get going on that right away.
It's like in fucking Lost when they first realize there's others because there's one more person on the island than there is on the manifest for the ship.
Yes, exactly. Like
that's
that sort of moment.
Cool. I like that kind of energy.
You do that comes in after it's like they have like a problem with the ship. Like, you know, they jumped out of hyperspace too soon or whatever and there's some problems. I'm like, oh man, fucking ruined my sleep. All right, this shouldn't be a problem. It should take a couple hours to fix, but we're all good. And then all of a sudden they get the report that there's one extra person on the ship or whatever. And it's like, well, this wasn't just an accident. Like maybe they sabotaged it. And the ship starts getting worse and worse or whatever. And people are now dying. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like they can recover the manifest. All the names are all blocked out, but they know how many entries were on it. And the entries don't match the number of people awake right now. Ooh, very cool.
So yes, I love this. I love that they all get on board. And then, maybe you even do the classic, like, they wake up because, you know, the captain is vanished, right? Because clearly they got blasted into the fucking, into outer space by the fucking bad guy. And, you know, the ship's been sabotaged and they have to fix it.
Yes.
And so they're trying to go around and fix the ship and radio for help. They're like, we don't know what happened. And they're like, wait a second. You know, like, And then, so yes, they realize, oh, no, we have an extra person on board.
Yes.
9 tickets were bought for this flight and there's 10 of us so who's not supposed to be here.
Let's chew on that for a second. We're gonna take a quick break and then when we come back we'll continue this intriguing space story. Story Break is brought to you this week in part by Curiosity Stream. Interesting.
I'm curious.
Curious, indeed. Curiosity Stream is like Netflix for documentaries, smart TV for your smart TV, huh?
That's good copy. I approve.
So it's a streaming service. Curiosity Stream has thousands of documentaries and nonfiction TV shows on topics like history, nature, science, food, technology, travel, and they say and more, but I can't think of anything else. That basically covers all the categories.
I mean, I think history basically covers all other categories if you think
about
it.
That's like all human anything.
Anything that's ever been done is part of history. So it's, you know, they got it.
Sorry, history, nature, and science literally covers everything.
If it happened in the past, you can find it on Curiosity Stream.
They even have exclusive programs featuring Sir David Attenborough, Stephen Hawking, Nick Offerman, and Chris Hadfield. One of those is not like the other. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Are you dunking on my boy, Nick?
I mean, he hasn't been to space.
He hasn't been to nature. He didn't figure out space like Stephen Hawking did.
Hold on. I want to see what he's doing. Nick Offerman is doing a little show called The History of Home.
Oh, that is interesting.
It's sort of a little history overview of like what makes our houses houses.
That's very cool. I actually want to watch the shit out of that. That sounds really interesting.
And he has sporting a nice clean cut scruffy look for that one.
He went stash free for Curiosity. All right, fair enough.
Now you can keep your mustache when watching Curiosity Stream, and you can stream everything from your TV, phone, tablet, or computer with or without facial hair. Go to curiositystream.com/storybreak or use the code storybreak to sign up. Just $14.99 for an entire year of education. You know what? You can come out of quarantine being all smart.
Yep.
Not like me.
Crucial.
The only streams I've been curious about are the streams of different types of soda I've been buying. That's not a good sign.
Storybreak is sponsored in part by Monsters of Murka. Restaurants and Retail, a new D&D 5e supplement on Kickstarter that takes players to Flavor City. Ah, yeah, baby! Monsters of Murka is a high fantasy playable parody of American pop culture, and Restaurants and Retail features fun, recognizable parody content created by a diverse, inclusive team of writers and artists. I'm looking at the Kickstarter right now, and it is a riot. There is a giant Guy Fieri-looking dragon.
Why not try 5e expansions for hire? It's more fun! They got locations like Flavor City and Walmoria. Flavor City is a hidden city with incredible food, powerful paladins, and magical sorcerers. Walmoria, an innocuous storefront, seemingly. Magically appearing almost overnight in any settlement large enough. That's really funny. Plays home to stalker rogues, bargain hunter rangers, and company pacted warlocks.
This is very good. Looking at the map right now, the Murka map, and there's a big section called Midwesteros, which 10 out of 10 on that joke.
Come on. Oh,
I am all about this. You know, it's just fantasy is too Eurocentric. This is America. Dungeons & Dragons is an American-made game.
That's
right. It's about time. It did it up America style.
Yeah, you know what? Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, you know what the problem with that is? Some British guy who fought in World War I brought his Europe worldview into it and instead ignored the American worldview. If The Hobbit was written by an American soldier, Frodo and Bilbo not only wouldn't shy away from it, they'd go in, they'd wreck face and leave and also make hamburgers the whole time.
You can make the Americanized version of Lord of the Rings of your dream. Head on over to monstersofmurka.com and back Monsters of Murka Restaurants and Retail on Kickstarter now.
That's Monsters of Murka, MURKA.com.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like the Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, like, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
The other fun thing, this feels very Hateful Eight, but it's also like there's not just one imposter. So at first they're like,
who's pick one to three in the game? So yes.
So like an early escalation also definitely feels like, oh shit, there is more.
Yes, and a good twist, by the way, would be there is a stowaway, but that stowaway is not the imposter.
Oh, that's great.
So there is somebody, there is somebody who is fleeing prison, and they might have even been a murderer or whatever, but like you come up with a backstory for them, and yes, they are not supposed to be on the ship, but they're not the imposter, and there's not just one imposter, there's two imposters. It's like, oh shit, like we're really screwed, you know? It's fun.
That's very fun. That is very
good.
Ooh,
that's very good. Yeah.
I love one of them being a criminal.
Yeah.
That's then your main character or one of your...
I was about to say, that might be fun to be...
It's like Stagecoach, right? Like, that's your Ringo Kid.
Yeah.
Or your... Yes. You know, like, this is the character Kurt Russell would play. It's like, yes. If you guys want help, you need me to fucking figure this shit out.
Yeah.
Drag on the space smoke or whatever.
I like the idea that the cool Kurt Russell badass is the first one killed.
Oh, yeah. There should be one that's like, I will solve this.
Like the Snake Plissken eye patch, like looking, you're like, oh, well, this guy's going to be the main character. And then it's a role reversal. We're like, nope, they're the first one killed.
Yes. And then they find who stowed away here and they tie them up. They're like, we got the imposter. We tied them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go out to fix the ship and then people still die. And this, like, it wasn't me. Like, yes, I stowed away. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm telling you, I'm not killing people. I stowed away specifically to get somewhere. Like, I didn't stow away to kill you. I'm trying to flee. It's one of you. It's one of you fuckers. So please untie me. I don't want to be stuck here, you know? So who's our main character then? This is all flavor. This is all fun. I can kind of get, you know, what the flow of people dying is. But now we got to dig down into who we follow in.
It feels like your main character is, well, we can just go by
just
their
go
colors.
Go by the colors, yeah.
Yes,
go by the
this
colors.
Is it. I yes. think we can, this is more, you know, interestingly enough, fun fact, the original script for Alien was written gender neutral. There's a specific line at the beginning where they were like, we see this movie being like, you could cast anyone of any gender in any of these roles.
That's cool.
Like
oh, that's cool.
And actually, the screenwriters were actually really surprised that Ridley Scott went with Sigourney Weaver because in their heads, they kind of pictured Ripley being a man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and of course, it was like a great casting decision, but it's like, I don't know. I just always thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver's the perfect choice.
So we've got red, blue, yellow.
By the way, this game, impossible to play if you're colorblind, right?
Yeah, they gotta fix that. They said they're fixing that, by the way.
Looking at these colors, so I'll rip through them really quickly. It's red, blue, green, pink, orange, yellow, black, white, purple, brown, cyan, lime, tan, and fort green. So something that's very amusing to me is that there's three different shades of green, and I kind of like the idea that, like, the first two imposters are both the different greens, and then the third green is like immediately suspicious.
My favorite name for a name character there is Lime. I like our character being Lime.
I like Lime. All right, Lime's the main character.
Because Lime's got some personality, because it's not just a color. It's like, I get it. They're like, they could be a little tart.
A little tart.
A little sour.
All right, so Lime, right? Okay, so great. So Lime is our main character. So our eyes in, so to speak.
Yes.
Oh, this is another thing we have not talked about, is that after you get murdered, you become a ghost.
Oh, that's true. You're right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
A whole other
right.
level to
There's
this thing. I'm the one who doesn't even fucking play the game, and I'm bringing all these facts.
Here you go. Here you go. Because that's like one of those insane things they never think you would do in the movie. But what you could do then is you could do a little bit of Indiana Jones, which people forget. One of the best parts about Indiana Jones is not just adventure. It's about a man struggling with his faith. Right? His dad is religious.
Kind of.
I mean, it's supposed to be. I mean, structurally, it literally is. He literally has to have faith at the end to save his father in Last Crusade.
Oh, you're talking about Last Crusade.
Last Crusade is the most overt of it.
Yeah.
That's the whole movie.
By the way, I love that Indiana Jones is struggling with his faith after finding the Ark of the fucking Covenant and watching it destroy a bunch of Nazis.
I know.
I don't know about this whole God thing, though, Dad.
This is stupid, but if you want to find a way to get ghosts in there, then what you could do is the main character is like, only believes in science, and like there are no such things as ghosts, and then at the end, like, they're gonna have to come to terms with the idea that there are ghosts, because the ghosts are gonna be the thing that helps them solve who the imposter is or whatever.
The space ghosts help.
It's tough because the ghosts actually aren't in the game until you die, because the ghosts can't do anything. They can just watch. There's no interaction between the ghosts and the rest of the people still playing the game. They can't even talk. You know, they have their own chat room to talk, so they can't say anything. So it's just like, it really is just like being sent into the afterlife. So it's not really
interesting.
Oh, a fun play to it, you know, like that scene in Battleship, which is not like the board game at all, but they have one scene where they're like, throw the mines to F3 or whatever it is. The little hint you could do is a little bit of like that ghost in the machine where they're typing and then like somebody's typing back. And you resolve that they never find who was typing back. And it's because, like, there's a ghost that was helping. Like, because, like, the idea that they have their own chat room, it's like while they're, like, plugging in and hacking or trying to fix the computer system, like, somebody's like, beware of Fort Greene or whatever. And it's like, oh, that was a ghost that was typing that.
I like the ghost being able to subtly do stuff.
Yeah.
I know that's not canon. I just love, by the way, we got to get Sus in there somehow. And I love the idea that either someone died writing Sus, like they were saying, trying to say suspicious in their own
suspicious.
Blood.
Yes.
Or
you could
do like, again, like what if you see like, because I also like that we never see these characters' faces. I just like that they're these, but like you see the fog on their little space helmets, and then like you see the word Sus like appears in the fog of one of them as he's breathing, and it's like, oh shit, like is the ghost trying to warn you?
If they're all scientists, Sus stands for scientist under suspicion.
Scientist under suspicion. You and your acronyms.
They're like Sus.
So we got Lime is our main character. Okay, great.
Yes.
It feels like to get into this theme, Lime at the beginning, you want to be like, I mean, in Alien, it's definitely like the moral of Alien is like, listen to this smart lady. She was right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Ripley's the one who's like, if we break quarantine, we could all die. She's the one who doesn't want to let him onto the ship. Like, she's that fucking smart person. And then she's, of course, the one who survives at the end.
And when it comes down to her, you know, ultimately, it's like it's a classic survival story in terms of, you know, 127 hours or any of those. Like, it is ultimately somebody just freaking pushing themselves past their limits to be living, to make it worth living, gravity or any of those.
I like the idea of a character who is, like, maybe you do, like, Lime is the person who they're, like, the logical one. right? Mm-hmm. Everything in the world is rational and orderly, and everything, you know, the world is fundamentally knowable, right? If the mm-hmm. punchline is that the world is fundamentally unknowable, your main character mm-hmm. in the beginning is the one who's very confident that using the scientific process and using deduction, like, they can figure out what's going on and stop.
They're Space Frasier.
Space Frasier.
Space Frasier.
They think people are knowable.
Yes.
So they're like a psychiatrist or something, or a therapist. And if this is like a bus to go to like a far off space station or whatever, these are obviously all important people. Oh, that's fun, because there'd be a little bit of snobbery with the other people who are like, mm-hmm. I'm an engineer, like I'm a pilot. Like, these are all important things we need at the space station that's, you know, four galaxies away doing cutting edge, mm-hmm. you know, science over there. It's like, what are you doing here? It's like, well, you know, you idiots are out in space all the time. You need, you know, mental health is important too. Like, and I know exactly what your problem is, Mr. whatever.
Human resources.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got Space Frasier. You've got, what else do we have? We have our stowaway.
Stowaway. Yep.
Ex-criminal.
Space influencer.
Space influencer.
Yeah, they got a free trip. They're just going there for no reason.
I just won this trip. What do you mean? You're suspicious. But I never thought it would go like this.
If I was doing this, I would be filming it. Are you filming it, you sick fuck? It's like, no, I'm an influencer. The only reason I'm on this ship is to get followers. I want to go.
But he has been filming it.
You got a cook. You got a pilot.
You got like a weed man. You got like a...
An engineer.
Engineer.
You've security got, guard, like a military, like police.
Security guard.
A family of four.
Yeah, I like just being like, let's lump three of these. We got a lot of mooks, you know? Like,
it's Lost in Space. There's a family of scientists. There's two. There's a husband, wife, and a kid.
Science family.
Science family.
Yeah.
And they all die at once. They're the first to go.
Like a space dog, but it's a genetically modified dog who can speak English.
A walking dog.
Walking,
yeah,
space
walking
dog.
Russian space dog.
Well, we're at 12, so we can trim some.
We can get rid of the space dog.
What?
No. How dare you, Matt?
Man, Matt's been after me all night, dude. Well,
what? No, remember, I applauded you for your play.
It's just him trying to earn some credit so that he can get rid of cool space dog. Producer Freddie here stepping in. I just think that the poster says Among Us and it's a space dog with a helmet off, thumbs upping the camera. You're getting families in there.
Freddie, you're right. I'm yes anding. In Among Us, you can have pets. So that doesn't take one of your spots. One of the people have a pet. The security guard has a pet space dog.
What if it's a walking space dog that has a pet dog?
And has a pet human. Fucking weird, right?
If we figure out what Lime's going to do and what their arc is, we essentially have the movie. Like, the specifics of who dies when is, like, whatever. Like, Lime?
Yeah, less
what's
important.
Lime's job? What are they doing? If they're Space Frasier, like, what does this mean to them? Like, why are they going to the far reaches of the galaxy on this ship? And what are they going to overcome during this? Yeah. What's their struggle?
I like the idea that they're en route to a space station. And another stakes is, like, if they don't figure out who this imposter is, the imposter is going to be able to get into the space station and murder everybody there.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's good. Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's a crisis as a psychologist. They're like, I know people, but it turns out you don't know people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, all my training allows me to detect liars. I can use my training. And they're like, it's meaningless. It's a crisis of conscience.
My ex broke up with me because they said I didn't know people, but I know people. I'm certain I know people. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, my ex was right. The end.
Again, our main character is ultimately going to wind up being the person who's driving the action of figuring out who the murderer is, right? If they're going to become a sort of ersatz team leader.
The fun of not knowing each other, those movies work best with that. Like The Mist, or again, even like Sunshine, it's like they kind of know each other, but they don't know each other personally. They're all scientists that have been compiled for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fun, especially if it's specifically people are unknowable, the thrust of the movie is going to be from the main character's point of view and from the audience's point of view, is learning about individuals and then suspecting them or not suspecting them. Like structurally, like then
right.
you learn about them as the movie goes on or as the story goes on. And the audience's perspective is also like learning these people and thinking you understand, like, oh, I know this person's not the imposter, and then being, you know, wrong or whatever. So I think
putting ourselves
in this, like the main character essentially having to use and having to figure out and begin to trust or not trust people is like the suspense of the movie.
And there may be, and right, like the family knows each other. There may be people who know.
Yeah, the family knows. There's really, yeah, you develop some fun relationships because that, you know, oh, I know this person, you know, I went to school with them or whatever. Like, that's all part of it. But I think, again, thinking about the main character's thing. So I'm trying to think of a comparable, like, what is it in The Thing? Like, what is his...
I don't know how that fucking movie works, man. It's just a bunch of macho posturing. Like, the movie barely, I fucking, like, it's just
a masterpiece.
Really, it's just really good. I don't know. Fucking everyone else is a smarty-pants scientist. Kurt Russell is a macho, booze-chugging helicopter pilot. everyone is angry and pissed off at each other the whole fucking movie, and like it's just a bunch of I don't know what his he doesn't have an arc. He's just a guy. Like, it's just guys doing guy stuff with a fucking space monster. There's no like, oh, I came to escape my past and do you know what I mean? It's just
okay. How about this? Taking it from the point of view of like, Among Us has become very, very popular, even with people that don't normally play these sort of games. And I think one of my favorite experiences with not just Among Us, but definitely like Werewolf and Resistance, is the times that I've played Werewolf or something with somebody who's never played the game before, and they're nervous, and they're like, oh, I'm not really good at this sort of stuff. And then they're like, is that miraculous thing where like, everybody killed the townspeople instead. Like, wait, who was the werewolf? And it's that nervous person that's never played before. And like, they light up. I actually think putting the audience kind of in that perspective, like if they are somebody, again, kind of like a dweeb or a therapist or somebody who's like, is actually running away, like they've abandoned, you know, they're going out, you know, to the middle of nowhere because it feels more secure than, you know, the tough world of Harvard University they were doing or whatever it is. And like, they don't think they're going to be able to survive the situation. They're looking for like the easy way out and they're nervous about this. And then by the end, like, yeah, like Ripley or whatever, like, a lot of the fun of those movies is just putting yourself in the place of the survivor and watching, like, can I do this? The classic, like, what would I do in this slasher flick?
Here's a trick. And this is something that, so the reason that, and then there were none, like one of the many reasons the book is considered an unfathomable, it's just a gem, a masterpiece, yeah, is that she basically, so it's 10 people go to this island. They've gotten this mysterious invitation, right? And then they all start getting bumped off one by one. Here's what she does that's incredible. At the beginning of the book, she introduces you to all 10 people, including the killer. And she goes into each one of their heads and goes into their internal thoughts, showing you their motivation for going to the island.
Yeah, it's fucking wild.
Yep.
It is literally like, and then one of them turns out to be the killer. So literally at the beginning, it's like a total nothing up my sleeve type moment, right?
Yes.
Where she essentially is daring you to figure out which one of these people could possibly be. So another angle on this is like, I feel like maybe we're losing, like, in one of these movies, like, the audience is playing the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like, the
correct.
Audience is also trying to figure out what's going on. And so maybe, like, I don't know that you want to give them a character that they know isn't suspicious.
That's fun. I mean, then, yes. Then,
I mean?
That's, like, in a way, that's probably easier for... Because, yes, then, if you are doing it that way, then it would be... Like, you are essentially the moment when they're all meeting each other. You know, whether that's before the ship breaks or if everybody essentially just walks into a bus with their head down like an airplane, like nobody talks to each other on an airplane, you know, everybody just like walks in and they're just like, whatever, I'm going to wake up at the space station, finish out later. And they wake up because the ship's, you know, malfunctioned. And then everybody's introducing each other and learning about each other.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
who
yeah.
can fix if there's a problem with electrics? Is anybody here an engineer? It's like, oh, I'm an engineer or whatever it is. And then, yes, if the audience is just watching all these people. Now, then there was none. There is kind of like a character you're kind of with to some degree. But yeah, we don't need to have one of the people be certain that it's not the imposter. We can just be playing.
I guess
the game.
That's true. They do pretty much like you settle pretty quickly. Like, okay, I'm pretty sure it's not this lady. Like, you're like the, like, she becomes like,
you do essentially have a person that you're following. But not to spoil, but the brilliance of that book is like, you know, she's not the killer, but then like what she did wrong is like, you're like, oh,
it's
shit.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the mystery.
Oh man. Yeah. God, this is brutal.
I think you need to focus on what is like the thematic, you know, again, like I think Matt was saying earlier, we could spend episodes just trying to figure out the sequencing of it. It needs to be just more about the thematic question, which I still think we've been circling around.
I think there's essentially two ways of doing this. If we do that, we're following a character like on board and it's their story, then yes, I think when you write the script, it would take months to figure out the sequencing and how to do all the red herrings and et cetera, but ultimately it's you're following a character who is going to go through this journey and ultimately survive or not survive at the end. If we do that, I think what they're going for and what their main thing is just what to figure out, and you got the movie. Or if you're going to do And Then There Was None, this sort of thing where you're essentially just like Event Horizon-esque is probably the closest thing I can think of off the top of my head. You're just following all these characters and you yourself are just kind of like seeing which, you know, who's going to live or die. I think where it's worth just being like, what is Lime's thing? Like, what, like, Lime came on the ship. Lime's not the imposter. Lime is either going to survive or not survive at the end. Like,
to me, what it felt like it was going was Lime is this psychologist who maybe has dealt with, you know, feels like they really can see through people and it's like kind of cocky in that way, can be like, I can diagnose anybody, I know exactly their inner thoughts, people are understandable, they're just simple beasts, and this experience is going to take them through the understanding of like, oh no, there's maybe their whole career has been a fucking sham, right? Maybe they start to think about some of the cases they think that they got right, but it's like, no, it turns out they didn't really know those people at all. And it reflects in their professional life. It also reflects in their personal life. He doesn't, you know, they're estranged from, you know, husband or wife. And they realize that they didn't even understand the person that they were supposedly the closest with, or maybe their parents or something like that. And the ending then feels like before this thing gets to the space station, it's them realizing that they've been a failure, and the one thing they can do is they can save this space station from this serial killer running amok, and they decide to sacrifice the whole ship to ensure, right, almost like the thing, right, where they nuke it all. It's like, they decide, it's like, listen, the lesson they learned is they had hubris coming into this, that they didn't know anybody at all, and that they weren't able to find the killer. They're not even sure if they got the killer or the imposters right. So instead of doing that, they sacrifice themselves to make sure that the space station survives later where they're going.
Well, what could be fun about that is, like, Will, to your point about screaming and resistance, I think the ultimate thing is you could have somebody who's in this moment is like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm a failure. I don't know people. And then as they're, because I feel like the ultimate journey in these survival things is like you understanding more about yourself, whether it's a sports movie or a running movie. Like, it's all about like the internal knowledge and the internal strength and like what was really in me all along to survive these 127 hours. So like it could go from ultimately if the character wasn't good at knowing people, whether they're a psychiatrist or a therapist or just like in their personal lives and marriages or whatever. It's so weird saying that with these little goofy cartoon characters. It's going to be ultimately like they learn about themselves, what they're willing to do in these like dire, darkest moments in order to survive and make it through to the other side or whatever.
I don't think we get into their, like, they are these little beans. Like, I don't, to your point, like, I think they are cook, pilot, engineer, janitor, and they have a personality, but I really don't think we want to get into their backstory a whole lot. My problem with making it the psychiatrist is it feels like, again, in And Then There Were None, it is like these sort of like waifish, naive, in over her head character that becomes your perspective, right? It's the person who seems the least well-equipped to handle something like this. So it feels like you do like a janitor or something like that.
Yeah,
like it's all of these highly specialized people on this space mission.
Oh, okay,
and then like the person who's kind of there by, not by accident, but like, you know, who they kind of look down on or something like that.
Yes.
I think someone who's trusting and who is idealistic, maybe does logic puzzles in their spare time, so they wind up being good at, like, you know, figuring out what's going
hella
on.
Hella Sudokus.
The other half of this is like, who is the imposter at the end, right? Like, who are the imposters and what do they want and all that? Could you do, this is very dumb, could you do that, like, the twist at the end is that the imposters, like, have already taken over the space station that they're going to? Like, and then it's down to, like, this janitor. They realize that everyone on the space station that they're about to go to is already, like, part of this imposter thing.
I was going to say, with what you have, I think you pretty much have it. Because I don't know if you need to double down, but then there's no... Like, Lime is, like you said, a janitor. Mm-hmm. They're going to the space station. Maybe they finally got, like, it's a waiting list to, like, everybody that goes to the space station are, like, scientists or important people. It's tough to be a service person there. But they're going to the spaceship because their partner... Lemon is already on the space station. They just want to bake it to Lemon, and that's all they want.
I like that. That's
and they're
great.
Just awkward.
Yes.
They're just awkward, and like, and they just want to get there. They worked really hard to get there, and they're insecure. They're like, maybe Lemon doesn't even care about me anymore. It's like takes 3 months for a message. You know, do they even care about me? And then there's Yellow on the ship who looks a little bit like Lemon, and there's a little bit of like thing, and they're like, and then, you know, anyways. They're suspicious or whatnot, but Lime just wants to get to Lemon.
Lime wants to get to Lemon is great. I love that. Okay, so now we're locking into the tone. Yes, Lime is on the ship and working as a janitor to secure passage to Bean Planet or whatever, where yes. Lemon is waiting. And has the note from Lemon in their pocket.
What's fun about them not being taken seriously and also like being somebody who like barely got a job, you know, here as a janitor, you would have somebody who's like, you know, whatever, Orange is, you know, a top scientist. And they're like, hey, you start causing problems on this. Like, listen to me. You start causing problems on this. I'm going to make sure that when we get there, if we all survive this, like, you're going right back home. Like, I'm going to fire you. Right? Like, really make them, like, bomb the ladder.
There's another version where they're actually, like, Lime gets along with everybody. It seems like one big happy crew at the beginning.
Yes.
Like, is another way to do it, right? Like, is, you know, like, again, it's like, I think about there's this incredible Twilight Zone episode called The Shelter, which starts with this dinner scene between these neighbors, and then, like, they hear that missiles from Russia are flying overhead, and at the beginning, they've all been razzing on the guy for building a bomb shelter, and now they just turn into animals as they're all trying to fight over this guy's bomb shelter, and it's fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. So there is also something about, like, if they seem like a happy crew at the beginning, like, them getting riled rowdier and rowdier, seems like that gives you more places to go than just like everyone's a fucking asshole to janitor.
I mean, as people start dying, it gets more and more intense.
So in which case, I actually don't know that you need to start with like it's all these strangers that come out of hypnosleep or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? I think That's they've true. Been on this voyage and they are, you know, approaching, you know, the destination, right? And they all feel like they've become a family.
Yes.
Right? They're also coming out of like the radio silence zone or something like that. You know, they're finally mm-hmm. getting it and they make contact with the space station over the radio when they first the mechanical problems start happening.
Yes.
And then the space station is the one who's like, right, we've got all nine of you. Like we're eager to see. They're like, wait, nine of us. It's like, yeah, there's nine of you on the ship.
Yes.
Like that's all we have on the manifest. I'm like, what the fuck? So,
yes.
Okay. So then people start getting bumped off, right? So,
yes.
And then I think you have like, you know, in terms of Lime's web of relationships, like maybe Lime and like the cook are best buds or something mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, Lime looks up to the engineer who's like a big badass. And then you got like the pilot captain seems like calm and trustworthy. Everyone on the ship seems totally adorable and reliable.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Who could possibly be? And it's like, all right, well, it looks like something weird's going on. We'll have to get to the bottom of it. And then, you know, oh, shit. Now the cool, calm, reliable captain has been, you know, decapitated. And it's like, holy shit, who is it? Right?
Yes.
And then I feel like your first moment is Lime saw something that doesn't add up.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And then Lime accuses someone, like the cook. They're not, maybe not the cook, because the cook's their best friend. But Lime accuses someone of being sus.
Mm-hmm.
And they jettison that person. And sure enough, again, because you're going to do, there's multiple imposters. That's how they find out that there for sure are imposters on the ship, is that they kill this imposter.
But I think ultimately, again, also just feeling like the arcs that are most fun when playing the game, I think just Lime's general demeanor is they're soft-spoken, probably not very confident. Mm-hmm. Like, because again, the best thing is when the people who are soft-spoken in these games often get railroaded the most.
Mm-hmm,
so yes. Seeing them step up and like push back against somebody like a me or a Freddy is like the fun thing. So I think like that's what I would do. And then you would probably tie that in with, you know, whatever, they've have not expressed their true feelings to Lemon yet or whatever it is. Like they're always playing things close to the chest and like not really willing to speak up for themselves. And like at the beginning, you know, that puts them at a place where they're sus because, you know,
yes.
They don't push back too hard against somebody who's just yelling and screaming like I would in the game. And then everybody's like, yeah, you know what? Cyan's right. Lime's looking pretty sus. They're like, well, but yeah, sort of thing.
Okay, this is cool. All right, so structure, just to lay it out. So act one,
yeah.
We're on the ship. We're one big happy crew. There, you know, we established Lime's thing, wanting to get the Lemon. It's like, is Lime going to tell Lemon how they feel? You know, like, is Lime going to, you know,
oh, they just broke out of the radio silence thing, like you said. So they yeah. They actually get a call with Lemon, and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then everybody's razzing them for, you know.
Oh, I like the first thing being that the radios get sabotaged.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about. Now they can't communicate directly with each other, right? They can only send messages. Like in the game, right? Like they only do chat, right?
Yes, yes.
So then you do their shit gets jammed, they radio to the thing, and then they get this message back about there only being nine of them, right? And it's like, oh shit. Essentially, that's your inciting incident, right? And then you have like them kind of freaking out and be like, oh, this is, I'm sure it's some big misunderstanding. Like, let's get the radio fixed. And then, of course, they go to fix the radio and it's sabotaged. And then someone gets murdered,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like, oh shit, there is someone among us, right? There is an imposter. And so now it's like the mystery is on. And Lime, like the sort of like getting thrust out of your comfort zone. Like we see at the beginning that Lime is timid and a scaredy cat. But now Lime is going to have to fend for themselves and be dynamic and be brave and be a hunter to get to where they need to go.
Yes.
So now Lime's agency is going to start to increase. They start being smarter. They start being more assertive because they have to fight for their survival to get the Lemon. And so at the beginning, it's essentially like, it's the, like, all right, we're all going to pair up. We're going to fix the ship. We're going to, you know, everyone's going to be in pairs and we're going to like, you know, it's your classic spooky horror stuff, right?
Yes.
So now their goal is to keep the ship functioning long enough to get to the space station, right? So they can figure
yes.
this out.
Yes.
But then they realize like, oh shit, we have to catch the, like again, like they find the insane journal of the imposter and they can't understand any of it. It's just mad scribblings. But they realize like, we can't let this person escape onto the fucking spaceship.
Yeah, the station.
Onto the space station, or it could cause chaos for, you know, everything. So they have to find the imposter and kill them.
It just reminds me, Freddy was like, I have the perfect way to make sure that we win this automatically. It's like involving teaming up or whatever. I think Lime, who's smart but soft-spoken, has an idea of how they could absolutely complete this, but they're, again, it's the smartest person in the room, but not, you know, but being talked over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do like the climax is like they finally, again, they're desperate to get to Lemon, like, you know, they stand up for themselves and they, you know, finally, you know, show everybody like, this is how we can do this. Like, there's six of us left. this is how we do it. Listen to me. And they take charge. And it's like, okay. And they trust the cook the most or whatever. It's like, me and the cook go, you two go, you two go. And then, like, of course, like, great. They got what they wanted. But then the turn is the cook or whoever they bring with them is the imposter. And you have, like, the spooky alien scene because that person's been stopping them from doing this because they know it will ruin their plan if they all listen to Lime. And now you get, like, Lime up against the final boss or whatever in, like, an intense alien scene.
Yeah. Because the climax is them realizing that it's the cook and trying to accuse them, and the cook turning it on them, right?
Yes.
Like that classic thing. Your sort of third act is this rising action, so to speak, although I hate that term, of like them trying to catch the killer, and every single thing they does, it just fails because the killer's always one step ahead. Like they realize that the killer is sabotaging to split them up. Then they, you know, after they, you know, like as you do, like they decide to work in teams, but then they're like, oh shit, like the killer splits us up. They realize the killer can go through vents. They rule out someone being the killer, and then they realize, oh no, they can somehow fit through these vents. Like, holy shit. And then you do, like, they catch the killer, and then they think they've done it, but then, wait, there was more than one imposter, right?
There's a second one,
so then you do, so when, you know, like, the one by bloody one, the crew is getting killed off until, yeah, it's the janitor and the cook and the space influencer and the cool grizzled ex-con or whatever, and, or rather, you do, like, your kind of midpoint is Lime taking command of the situation and them all trusting Lime to figure out what's right. And then Lime initiates this plan, but it goes horribly wrong because the one person they would have never suspected was their best bud, the cook.
Yes.
And then the cook accuses Lime. And then you do, they're all about to blast Lime out of the airlock. And then the lights go out and they're able to escape. And you're like, what the fuck is happening? I thought all the imposters were killed. Who was doing this? You know, yada, yada, yada.
It was ghosts.
Yeah, and it was the ghosts. The ghost all say, yeah.
Oh, you do Lime because, again, they can't talk. Mm-hmm. They've been blasted out the airlock or whatever, but they have some way, again, there's janitor, so they have like there's some like, you know, storage, whatever, there's some tricky vent or something. That's one reason they suspect them.
Yeah, they know about all the vents and all the little,
but I feel like the final action being like they know the cook is the killer and there's only three people left alive and they can't communicate and they have to make their way to, right, it's like this like desperate, as like the ship is falling apart, they have to get to, there's an intercom in Among Us they can press to call a meeting, and that's the only way they can get everybody there and hopefully save the last few people and whatnot. And then you would do is like they open the door to get to the intercom and the cook is there, you know, you have your final like standoff or whatever, and Lime beats, like, is this a happy one? Does Lime win?
How does Among Us usually end?
I mean, either way,
it feels like you want one last good twist, right? Like, what's your big oh shit moment? Right.
Well, the big would be that if they do kill
if they
the
get to
cook,
the space station, and everyone at the space station is sus.
I was gonna say if they get the cook, and then there's one last, and they're like, "Who's left? Like, who survived this massacre?" And you know, because the intercom, they kill the cook, and they press the intercom, and it's silence, and they think they're all alone, and then it's, you know, one other person shows up, one other bean is yellow or whatever, and like looks like it's just the two of us, like we did it. It's like, okay, let's go repair the system or whatever. And then as they're split up, and as they're walking away, you get the Kaiser Sose moment when they realize like it wasn't just the cook, it was also yellow or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to like, we almost got it. Like, what's the, I'm trying to think of this sticky punchline with,
you could do that, like it would be that the cook isn't the imposter, like you, Lime was wrong in that moment.
Okay, yes, at some point, yes, someone needs to get jettisoned, like Lime needs to be positive that X, Y, and Z person was the bad guy and then kill an innocent person, right? Like, yes, that definitely seems like something that needs to happen. Oh, the ending is, okay, all right, here you go. I got it. I fucking got it. They get out. They've done the whole thing. They've outsmarted everybody, but by becoming a real paranoid pain in the ass, right? Like, and outfoxed everybody. Then you do at the end, it's like, what has stayed with them is the suspicion. And then they get onto the ship, and it is like that thing-style ambiguity where, like, wait a second. Oh, my God. Is Lemon sus? You know what I mean? It's not, oh no, the space station is full of imposters, but it is like this person, Lime, is now, again, they've changed, right? The thing that Lemon loved about them so much was they were such a kind, trusting person. And yeah, now Lime's gone through some shit and everybody is sus.
You would do something, you'd be like a specific point. If it was the cook and the cook was their best friend on the ship, it'd be like the cook always like flips the pepper, like does like a little flip the pepper before tapping it into the soup or whatever. And then it's like they see Lemon and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you made it home or whatever. And then it's like Lemon's like, let me make you a soup. And they like do the same twist. and then like the eyes of like Lime go wide and you're like, oh, this person's messed up.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. But it's like, it's also one of those like, but are they? Like,
are they?
Like, yeah, now but, you as the audience are sus as well, right? Yes. Like the, you're paranoid about everybody. Okay, that's good. Okay, now we yes. got it. Now we got it. Okay, that's his
yeah,
character.
Yeah, it ends with a paranoia.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yes, woo! There it is. Among Us.
And it ends with essentially the idea that you're doing, it's like round two, because once you play Among Us, I'll tell you one thing, experiences, you always play that second game. One game's not enough. So it's like, oh, now we're on the space station level. Like, Lemon Lime's like, no. Okay, yeah, there you go.
Then the sequel is that Lemon and Lime go on their honeymoon at the ice resort.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Among Us as a Among movie. Us. There we go. We did it. Good job, ooh, everybody.
Good grief. That was a tough one.
That was a tough one.
Those are hard. Horror movies.
Ooh. Horror movies and mystery movies.
It's always tough, too, when we only get to it being the fun part in the last 10 minutes.
I know. But we kind of felt obligated to do it because we did Fall Guys and
we've been on a roll. It was time we had a clunker.
We'd be bean-cist against all the other bean characters in this game if we didn't do it.
We used to be all timely, like, oh, Smash Brothers is coming, we're doing Smash Brothers. And then it's like, even Fall Guys, we did like 2 months after the fact. It's like, we're like, we should at least get Among Us in here. Let's do one.
Yeah,
let's be part of the zeitgeist once again for once.
For fucking once.
Well, if you want the real zeitgeist, you check out our Twitter at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or the Facebook group at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. The real zeitgeist, of course, is in all the great fan art. Will, fan art.
Yeah, baby. So first of all, I want to thank everyone who suggested we do Among Us, including Finn Carter on Twitter and Rourke Loftus on our Facebook group. And anybody else, we got the suggestion from a lot of people. So we got three pieces of alternate Star Wars fan art Star Wars, but I think it's a good idea. So Sam Scheidler on our Facebook group posted a picture of Princess Slaya that is just absolutely badass. And then our frequent fan art contributor, James Redensek, tweeted some pictures of Luke and Han from our rewritten Star Wars canon as well, featuring Sebastian Stan as young Imperial fighter pilot Luke Skywalker and Alden Ehrenreich as force-wielding Han Solo. So thanks very much to James for that. You can check out all of that stuff at our Facebook group, bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
And twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. So thanks, y'all.
That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much to Chad Ellis for chopping down all of our insane ramblings.
Thanks, Chad.
And Maximum Fun for being the best podcast network out there. Head on over to MaximumFun.org. Check out the whole menu of podcasts. They got everything. They got appetizer podcasts. They got entree podcasts. They even got some dessert podcasts as well.
Or what are we? Are we an app? I feel like we're an app podcast.
We're an appetizer podcast
appetizer. We're a doggy bag podcast.
We're the little section of the menu where you can like buy like a dog treat to take home.
You open up the fridge and you see us in a Tupperware. You're like, I don't know if it's not worth reheating.
Not worth reheating.
I'm just going to order pizza.
So check out some great pizza podcasts at MaximumFun.org. That's going to do it for us this week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
Whoa, that was suspicious. Whoa. My name is Matt Arnold. And Freddie, I think we should shoot Will out of the airlock.
Wait, no. Don't shoot me out the airlock. 3, 2, 1.
Will.
Turns out Will was not the imposter. Oh, no, Matt.
Aww.
It's none of us.
Hey, guys, it's me, Freddie Wong. Catch you later.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them?
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play?
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies?
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a brand new podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.